Could you find 1 John chapter 1? Our text this week will be the same as last week, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And if you're able, could you stand while I read the Word of God in your hearing? Honor God as we hear from Him and then ask His blessing on our time together. Beginning at verse 5 in 1 John chapter 1. From the English Standard Version, it reads, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Amen." Father, make your word plain and clear. We want to hear and understand what you're saying to us. And then, Lord, we ask you to give us grace to obey you in every way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject again this week is Walk in the Light. Or if you will, part two, Walk in the Light. You remember the Apostle John desires for believers to have true fellowship with God and with each other. True fellowship with God and with other believers. Saw that in verse 3. And he said he wants this so that our joy may be complete. A very integral part of a Christian having joy is having fellowship with each other. If you think you can have joy apart from fellowship with each other, it will not happen, because God's design is for us to have fellowship. He continues then to outline the stipulations for believers to have this true fellowship. First, he said, you must know the character of God. We saw that in verse 5. God is light. There is no darkness in Him. God is truth. And God is holiness. He is pure. That's His character. So the only way you can have fellowship with Him is, first of all, to know His character. You can't say you walk with Him in light and live a different way than the light. That's John's point. So you have to know His character first. And then he says, the second stipulation is that you must not deny sin. We saw that in verses 6, 8, and 10. You remember that? You must not deny sin. And essentially he said this. You must not deny the effect of sin in your life. Don't say that I sin and that's okay. It doesn't affect me. Don't say that. That's verse 6. In verse 8, he says, don't deny the present reality of sin. Don't say that you used to sin and you don't sin anymore. That's denying the present reality. And then finally in verse 10, he says, don't deny the past reality. Don't say that I was born holy and I am holy. I've never sinned. So he says that to embrace that thinking means that you cannot have fellowship with God or with God's people. Why? Because that's false doctrine. The only way you can have fellowship with God is in what? Truth. The only way we can have fellowship with each other is how? Truth. Truth. So that's John's point. And if you remember, last week I tried to rehearse a few of the consequences of denying sin. You It's obviously possible for someone to deny sin. But if you do that, there are consequences. There are always consequences of disobeying God. Right? Denying sin is disobeying God, so there are consequences. There's guilt. Right? Sleeplessness. That's the reason you see so many of these commercials. I'm not saying that's the only reason people can't sleep, but that's certainly a major one. The Bible promises sweet sleep to God's people. And so sleeplessness is an issue. And when you deny sin, it throws your whole system out of balance. Out of control eating. Out of control drinking. Out of control working. People become workaholics because of guilt. Out of control in ministry. So you can't just direct it toward the church and think that that solves it. If you're denying sin, just getting busy in the church doesn't solve it. That won't get rid of the guilt. There are consequences to denying sin. And you remember last week we saw it leads to poor health. By the way, sleep is essential to good health. If you don't get good sleep, it eventually affects your health. Your heart needs downtime. And when you're not sleeping good, your heart doesn't, and this is not a biology class, but there are just some practical things to know. God is good to us. And so it's a great blessing to get a good night's sleep. Denying sin can even lead to death. We saw that with Joshua. Remember that? Joshua 7? You also see that in 1 Corinthians 11. When people wouldn't confess sin, some are weak, some are sick, and some, it calls it sleep, and you know what that means, right? Some are even dead because these are people in the church that would not confess sin. So there are consequences for you, for your family, and for others involved. But today, you remember last week we looked at that dilemma. But don't you thank God that He doesn't leave you just in that dilemma? God provides a way. As a matter of fact, it is the way. Jesus says, I am the way. There's a way to get from here to there. You have to go. You have to follow God. And so here, John is going to talk to us about the value and the essentials of confession. Confession is essential for fellowship with God. Confession is essential for fellowship with each other. Confession is central. It's core. Cannot get around it. Confession, then, is the result of repentance. And it means, essentially, to agree with or to admit that something is true. The word in the original language is homologeo. All right, phonetically, H-O-M-O-L-E-G-E-O. Homologeo. And those in your Latin and those English folks, you know, homo, with, speak. You know, you say the same thing. You speak with, you say the same thing that someone else is saying. You agree with who? God. Confession means to agree with God. Say the same thing that God says. That's confession. You can't get any better than that. How can you get any better than saying what God says? Confession, then, is essential. Fellowship means having something in common, right? It means sharing. So to share with God, to have a common relationship with God, you have to say what God says. You can't have a have fellowship with God and be at odds with Him and disagree with Him. So, we're going to look at two things today when it comes to confession. The first one is the confession of Christ. The second one is the confession of sin. Those have to be true if you're going to have fellowship with God. They also have to be true if we're going to have fellowship with each other. Confession of Christ and confession of sin. What did I say confession means? To say the same thing. Confession of Christ, then, is to say the same thing about Christ that God does. The same thing that God says about Christ, you say, amen. That's true. And John just gives us two essentials right here. He said, confess Christ's eternal preexistence and incarnation. That's verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He was there. He was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He was there. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. You have to confess that. That's true. Then you have to confess that he has this unique relationship with the Father. Verse 2, His life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was, here it is, with the Father. Which was with the Father. Jesus has this unique relationship with the Father. He's the Father's unique Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only, that the monogamous, His unique Son. There's none like Him. He is equal in divinity. But He holds a unique place of being the only Son of God. You have to confess that. That's true. There is no other Son of God. There is no other Savior. There is no other Messiah. You have to agree with God about that. God doesn't plan to send another Savior. It doesn't matter who's waiting on Him. Or how serious they are. Isn't it good to know the truth? That's the reason Jesus said, you know it, and then what? Set you free. So, the first confession is that of Christ, and then the second matter is that of sin. Now let's look at that today. Confession of sin. You see that in verse 9? Now we've already looked at denying sin, and we know that there are grave consequences to that. Today we're going to look at the benefit of confession of sin. The benefit, tremendous benefit. But to do that, then we need to understand this matter of sin. You see, verse 9, if we confess our sins. Sin literally means to miss the mark, means to miss God's high standard. You miss it by falling short of it, or you miss it by going beyond it. Either way, you miss it. You miss God's high standard. The light of God, His Word and His Holy Spirit, if you will, reveals our failings, reveals our shortcomings. The light of God reveals our sin. That's what happens when you're in the light. The light comes to reveal the dark, to reveal things in the darkness. As long as it's dark, you can't see. We lived in darkness. I did for 28 years. I don't know how long you did before you were saved. For 28 years, I was in darkness, but I thought I could see until the light of Christ came, and then I could see where I really was. God moved me from there, took my feet out of that miry clay, out of that awful pit, and set my feet on the solid rock of Christ. But until I could see it, I didn't know I was there. So the light comes to, and then after you're saved, the light comes to show, Willie, you still got it. You're a mess. You still got issues. The light has to come and show you. Aren't you thank God that He doesn't show you all at once? Be overwhelmed. He's good. He's a good Father. He knows how much to show you, how much you can handle. All of us want to be holy. But if you knew how much work you had to do, you'd be discouraged. So God showed you enough to say, okay, Willie, let's work on this. Isn't that good? That's a good father. It's a good father. Listen to me. This is really important. Identifying sin brings hope for the believer. Now, you need to think with me now. Identifying sin actually gives the believer hope. Why do you say that, Willie? We know what to do about sin. You don't know what to do about all these new names that this world is trying to give to sin. All these politically correct terms. What do you do with that stuff? But if you identify the way God does, bring it into the light, you know what to do about that. You may not even have to go to the doctor. You believe that? You believe God's word and the Spirit will heal you? I'm not talking about some magic here. I'm talking about God in whom nothing is impossible. So identifying sin gives the believer hope, because true believers know that we are to confess sins. As a matter of fact, you all remember, can you turn over to Joshua 7 real quick? Confessing sin is a fundamental way of glorifying God. You understand what I'm saying? This is one of the fundamental ways that you glorify God, is to confess sin. Look, Joshua 7:19. You remember this? After Achan, God had told Joshua that the problem was within his own people, that Achan that there had been a sin with those who had taken the forbidden things. Then Joshua confronts Achan in verse 19. Listen at it. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him." Some of you might say, "and confess." Some of you, that's true. Confession is giving praise. It's giving glory. That's what I'm saying to you. Confession is one of the fundamental ways of giving God glory. Why? Because you say what God says. That's how you glorify God. Say what he says. Say what is true. Give God the glory. Think of that next time. Confession of sin is a fundamental way of giving God glory. That's the reason we can agree with David when he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out transgressions," right? "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins," right? "For I know my sins and my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee, against you, have I sinned." So we can agree with David when he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," right? "Renew a right spirit." We can agree with Paul in Romans 7 when he says that I find myself doing the very thing I hate. I don't have to deny that. That's true. Say the same thing that God says. Stop pretending that it's not true. That war is not just for certain Christians. The war is in all believers. Confess it. That's when you get help. It's when you tell God, "Lord, I'm struggling with this." That's when you get help. Right, parents? We've seen our children. We've talked to them. And we've tried to tell them the right thing. But they reach a point to where they're so stubborn, you know you cannot help them until they ask you. Amen. Trying to help when they don't want it, you find out, does not work. So we go to God and we say, "Father, I need help." We must say the same thing about sin that God says. Agree with Him. And so, we've got, God has given the church opportunities. I want to rehearse some of them. Just like in Mark 1, when they came there to John the Baptist, confessing their sins, baptism is one of the appointed times that God wants believers to confess their sins. The Lord's Supper. One of the reasons they were weak and sick and some sleep was because they would not confess their sins. God has given us opportunity to confess sin. James 5 says that there are certain sicknesses that are associated with sin. And so in James 5, you confess your sins. And then you look to God to heal you. I didn't say all sicknesses. Some sicknesses are strictly for the glory of God. Now, let me clarify. All sickness is a result of sin. All sickness, obviously, it comes about from Adam having sin. But there are certain sins you commit in your life that can be the cause of your sickness. Okay? But James 5 is getting that. So he says, confess your specific sins that may be causing you to be sick. We have opportunities to confess sin when we're reconciling with another believer. We find that in Luke 17. We have opportunities to confess our sins in private prayer. I want to show you something. Turn over to Daniel 9 real quick. Confess sins in private prayer. We find Daniel here. This man of God who's burdened for God's people. And I just want to read verse 20. Daniel 9 and verse 20. Daniel says, "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord God for the holy hill of my God, while I was praying," and he goes on to say about how his prayer was answered. But you see what he was doing? He was speaking, praying, confessing his sin and the sin of God's people. Confession in private prayer. So we confess in private, but we also confess in public. Most of these other instances I've given you are public confession. Public confession. So don't assume that you've done enough just for private confession. There are some sins that were public and they need to be confessed. Wow. Publicly. Amen. So, confession is essential. Then what's the benefit of confession? You look at, let's go back to 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Forgiveness. When truth and the Holy Spirit convinces us that we have sinned, it results in guilt. Everybody here knows what guilt feels like. Guilt means that you accept personal responsibility for your sin. Guilt also means that you accept the consequences that go with it. When God has convicted you, you accept both the responsibility and the accountability or the consequences that go with it. Again, you remember David in Psalm 51, I think it's verse 4. He says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak." You're justified. Lord, I've been found out guilty. Whatever you have to say to me is justified. And he also said, "You're blameless when you judge." In other words, whatever the consequences are, I know it's right. And I trust you. I trust you. So that's what guilt does. Guilt can only be removed God's way. And what is that? Confession. This verse says God is faithful to His promises. He's just or righteous, if you will, in His action to remove the guilt and forgive our sins. Why? How can God be faithful and righteous if He's taking a guilty sinner and forgiving them? On what basis can he declare himself righteous to forgive a sinner that's guilty? When he says the wages of sin is what? Death. That sinner deserves to die. So how can God be righteous and just to forgive him? Come on, Christian. Jesus. That's why we love him. He paid the debt. Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to. Hallelujah. So that we wouldn't have to. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So God can be right, faithful, just by forgiving us because Jesus died for us. Isn't that good news? You confess and you get forgiven. Thank God. Thank God. Then, not only that, he says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, cleanse us. Now see, I'm talking to people who got some experience. I know I got plenty of experience here, and I'm looking at folks who got plenty of experience too. Sin not only makes you feel guilty, sin also makes you feel filthy. And God brings truth to it for us to know that you not only need the weight lifted off your shoulder to know you're not going to die, you need your heart clean. And your conscience clean so you can go on now. Because as long as you feel filthy, you can't go on and do what God wants you to do. So you got to get rid of the guilt and the filth. Isn't God good? So the guilt is removed by forgiveness. The filth is removed by him cleansing. That's the reason David says, created me what? Clean heart. Because I feel filthy, Lord. I know this was a messy deal. I know I messed up people's lives. I know I killed a man for his wife. I know I did it. It's all over my conscience. And some of us know that's a messy situation. You can't fix it. It's there every day. It takes God to move in and say, I cleaned it up. What would we do if God didn't clean up some of our messes? The first mess is in our heart. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Need to be clean. See, the heart is where the heart is not this muscle. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's the center of man where your will, your emotion, your convictions reside. You see, when that's filthy, you don't think properly. Those convictions don't come as readily when your conscience and your heart is filthy. You don't obey God. You don't hear God as easily because your heart's not tender. And so God goes in there and cleans it up. Now your will, your emotion, you're not like a roller coaster now. All up in there. At night you can't sleep. This guilt keeps coming. God says, it's clean. Go on. Live for me. Only God could give a clean heart and a clear conscience. That's the reason David says, create in me a clean heart, who? Oh, God. We can't even give each other. You may forgive someone for what they've done. You can't give anybody a clean heart. God gives a clean heart when you do it his way. You do it his way. Now I want you to notice that a sense of guilt and filthiness leads to a destructive life, listen to me, for both unbelievers and believers. If you don't address the guilt and the filth, I assure you it will lead to a destructive life. Read the latter half of Romans 1. These unbelievers, the Bible says, even though they knew what they were doing was wrong, the guilt was there, but they chose to do it anyway. And it leads to a downward spiral of destruction. However, the same is true of a Christian. If you will not obey, you are leading yourself to a destructive life. Weak, sick, dead. Does that sound serious? God is serious about sin. Now you say, but I'm saved. Yeah, you're saved. God wants you to be more than saved. He wants you to have a clean heart. He wants you to be, he wants you to reflect Him. He wants you to reflect His glory. Not just to say, I'm a Christian. I've been saved for 20 years. No. God says, my children need to reflect me. It's a destructive life for unbelievers and believers. Therefore, God has made a way of deliverance. What is it? Confession. And then finally, the other benefit of confession is in verse 7. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. Fellowship. That's the other great benefit of confession. Remember, true fellowship was John's desire, right? That was his desire from the beginning, his desire for this congregation. Fellowship with God first, and then with each other. When we have a clean heart and a clear conscience, you can walk in the light. In other words, you can live in truth because you have nothing to hide. This is important. When you walk in the light, you got nothing to hide from God or other believers. You see it? Walking in the light means that when God reveals sin, I deal with Him and I deal with other people involved. Walk in the light because you have nothing to hide. That's the way you have clear conscience. That's when you have a clean heart. God is light. And when you live in light, you have fellowship or you share with every other believer in the light. You see how that works? God is light. You're in the light, which means you have fellowship with every other believer that's where? In the light. The light. That's the issue. Get in the light. Live in the light. Get away from the darkness. We've been there. Nothing over there. We reveled in that. It came to what? Nothing. All the benefit is over here in the light. Matter of fact, what do you want to do? You want to tell your friends, tell your family, come on out of there. Come out of the darkness. Come over here to the light so you can see, so you can be free, so you can have a clean heart, so you can get good sleep, so you can break all those bad habits. Come into the light. The light is where you want to be. The light. If you walk in the light and confess your sins, you want to isolate yourself. See, the reason you isolate yourself is because you're not willing to come into the light. So you isolate yourself, you withdraw. You don't function in the church because you're not willing to come into the light let God expose your sin. Come into the light where everybody's sin is exposed. You willing to be exposed? You got to come into the light. That's John's issue. You can't say you can still live over there in darkness and think you have fellowship with God or His people. You may still go to that church, but you don't have fellowship with God. You're going to have fellowship with God, you've got to come into the light. And God continues to give us the benefit of Jesus' death for all our sins. And He will, you see how He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We continue to get the benefit of Jesus' death when you confess. Isn't that good? Most of y'all know that I grew up in a little town in Arkansas. The amazing thing, when you grow up poor, you don't necessarily know you're poor, but we were. My dad had, some horses and things. But it's an amazing thing. We had a neighbor. You know, down there you had barbed wire fences, all right? That's where you keep stock in. So you had this barbed wire fence that divided our property from our neighbor's property. And the neighbor was a little better off than we were. Our horses didn't have any pedigree. They're just a horse. But our neighbor had some pedigree ponies, Shetland ponies and things. So we knew you can't go over there and mess with the neighbor. You can mess with these horses, these no-brand horses, or your dad, but you can't go mess with the neighbor's pedigree. Now, you know, telling a kid that just stirs up sin. I was a for real sinner. And so my parents left. I goes to check out these horses. And they were nice, but I got caught. And so then, if you ever been caught and you know you got to wait, the parents wasn't back. So you got to wait until they come. And fear and trembling, and you begin to imagine. You see, my mom whooped you with a switch. My dad cut hair, so he whipped you with a razor strap. And so I knew what was coming. So by the time you get to thinking about that, you kind of start trying to make some excuses. So, you know, I start trying to come up with some creative lies and all that. But I've been caught. So what lie is going to work? So anyway, parents get home. I get found out. I confess what I did. I get my, they didn't call them spankings back then. I don't know when spankings came into being, but they didn't exist. They didn't exist when I was growing up. I got a for real whooping. But my dad forgave me. He didn't hold that against me anymore. Even though obviously I disobeyed more, but he didn't hold that sin, that wrong, against me, because it was dealt with. And that's the same way in the kingdom of God. If you'll do it God's way, He says, I'll forgive you, I'll cleanse you, and we're going to go on. We're going to go on. That's been dealt with, but you got to deal with it God's way. Remember this. God is faithful, and it is impossible for Him to lie. Right, Christian? It is impossible for Him to lie. Every promise that God has made, He will fulfill. Now, if you are a Christian, God has made promises. He promises to forgive your sins. Did we just read that? To cleanse you. He promises you to have fellowship with Him and with God's people. So my brother, my sister in Christ, I hold before you today forgiveness for your sins, cleansing for your heart, fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people, if you will only trust God and confess. God holds that before every believer today. If you are not a Christian, God has made promises too. God has made promises to you if you confess also. Romans 10, he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what's the promise? You will be saved. God cannot lie. Confess Jesus as Lord. Believe upon Him in your heart. God promises to save you. Therefore, my beloved friend, I hold before you today salvation, full and free. I hold before you today forgiveness for your sins. I hold before you cleansing for your heart. I hold before you fellowship with God and with God's people if you will only confess Jesus. Believe on Him. Believe on Him and you'll be saved. If you are not a member of a church, contemplating membership at a church, we'd love to have you confess today that you would be here with us. Thank God for the great privilege of confession. Father, we thank You for Your ways that are excellent. Thank You for the mercies and grace that You give to us to obey You. We ask now that You would work these truths out in our heart. Lord, shine Your light in our own personal lives. Shine Your light into our own hearts. Show us what's really there. We pray with the psalmist, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Would You work it out for Your glory and the good of Your people today, in Jesus' name, amen.